If you wish upon the suns, they might have a little run in a game down by 16. Matthew, they won. Suns win.
Suns win.
What?
Pelicans wow. win.
Pelicans,
but we're gonna play the Pelicans. But we're gonna play the Kings though again. So I'm excited.
Potentially, there's a lot
yeah,
of things
it's gonna happen.
You're not wrong, but a very David Ray really singing again. I don't know. Matthew told me that he liked it when I sung to him to start podcasts, so that's been my thing.
Hey, maybe David Ray, no one sings to me at night to get me to sleep. So I replay this before I go to bed, and I fall asleep right before the intro.
Rick, I want to see how I did tonight on the podcast. I want to go ahead and watch my performance. Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast, the original post-game podcast on Planet Orange, shooting the shit about the Suns since 2019. There's been a lot of twists and turns and ups and downs that we've experienced as Suns fans throughout the five seasons or four and a half, whatever it is, the long time that Matthew and I have been podcasting about this team. But once upon a time, before we had a podcast and we lived together, we used to sit around and drink red wine and talk about the Phoenix Suns in person. And so tonight, that's exactly what we did, is we did our playback.tv, Bright Side of the Suns channel. We watched tonight's game and had a little bit of red wine. And I wouldn't say enjoyed the game, but we watched it. A very interesting affair that occurred as the Phoenix Suns pull off a victory 108 to 107, leading for a total of 6 minutes and 44 seconds in this game, primarily all of which occurred in the first half. If you go to the second half in this game and you were to go, well, how much total time did they lead? Matthew, it was a total of 8 seconds that they led in the second half. But those 8 seconds were the 8.7 seconds that it took for them to win the game. What a crazy game.
Yeah, and that's all you need, and is the 8 seconds to get off and win. That's all
eight
you
need, seconds man. Are left. 8 seconds, man. It's an 8 second
that's
ride.
That's all you need, man.
For all my rodeo fans out there. So we definitely have a lot to talk about on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. We will be joined by two members of the Aussie Suns Fans Podcast as they were hanging out with us during the playback TV, and we thought we'd invite them on, so we'll bring them back after the intro. But a quick reminder to everybody, make sure you subscribe, rate, review. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, or don't. I don't know if we deserve it because we watch a team that clearly doesn't deserve it. But if you find the kindness in your heart to do so, we truly appreciate it. Head to our playback channel, Bright Side of the Sun, playback.tv, and join us to watch the games. I know when the playoffs start, it might get a little tricky, but we do have one more game that is going down on Sunday. And another thing that we're excited to announce, and we're going to start to put some more promotions out there, is the Autograph app. If none of you have downloaded the app that's Autograph, please do so and use promo code SunsJam. It's actually a great one-stop shop for Suns content. You can look at Bright Side of the Sun, your podcast scores, everything, and you actually earn different tiers and rewards for doing so, and you can get autographed memorabilia for the Phoenix Suns. Doesn't cost you a thing. Just sign up, use promo code SunsJam. I think it's a really cool way to interact with the fan base. It's something that they've been doing with college basketball and college football for quite some time. They're dipping their toe into the NBA. They've decided to join the Suns Jam Session to do so. So if you have it a couple minutes, go ahead and do that. If not, I don't care. It's on you. You do you, boo. But whatever you do, make sure you're having a crack and a cold one open tonight, because after watching this game, you might need it. Matthew's nothing to crack. We're just drinking wine. So cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
Let's go ahead and start this here podcast. Suns win 108 to 107, outscoring the Kings 30 to 22 in the fourth. And we are joined by both Gavin and Boyd from the Aussie Suns Fan Podcast. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and thank you for hanging out on the playback.tv. How was that experience for you? Gavin's on mute, but if you everybody's both are on mute, mute. You're both everybody's on mute. Mute. There it is. Wow, you guys have a podcast.
I think that was my fault.
Yeah, no.
That's it. Yeah. I look like Shrek.
Thanks, Matthew. Yeah. It was awesome hanging out with you guys, and look, it was kind of like sitting at the bar and watching the game with some mates and talking about the game while I was rolling, and it was good fun. So I appreciate you having us on, and appreciate you having us on. We always love coming on to the Suns Jam Session podcast after the games as well.
Thanks for coming on.
Follow that up, boy.
Well, no, I am. Yeah, I love that app. Who does that app, by the way?
Autograph.
HBO. No, one will just on.
He's talking. Playback.tv.
That's who does it. They have a partnership with the NBA, and it's something that they've been working on, and I think that's been a great addition, because again, it's like Gavin says, it has an opportunity to just hang out with your friends and watch the games, right? And the fun thing for us is we were playing a game, and the game was, and we were trying to determine before the game began, because we were all having a nice alcoholic beverage. It's 1:30, it's what, like 4:30, it's 8:35 p.m. On next Thursday in Australia. I don't know how time works, but we were playing a game. It's like we were trying to determine before the game. It's like every time the Suns turn over, do we drink, or every time they make a three, do we drink? And we decided that we would choose the light side instead of the dark side. We said every time that the Suns make a three-pointer, we will drink in this game. And that's probably a good thing, because the Suns ended with a total of 19 turnovers in this game. And only 12 made three. So we are coherent enough to actually conduct this podcast.
No, yeah,
would have been pretty blind by the end of the first quarter, I reckon. I think the first five plays were turnovers. We would have been a few beers deep.
I was just drinking because I was a Suns fan the whole time. So I cannot actually run the pod. So good thing John is a little bit sober.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but I still have the ability to click things and talk at all times. So if a couple words come across slurring, blame the Malbec. It's a Kirkland Malbec. It's a 2022 Kirkland Malbec. This thing is under $7, and it's delicious.
Audi. Audi wine. That one. Boyd.
What is it?
Audi wine. Kirkland, yeah.
I don't drink that shit, mate.
Can't afford it. So obviously this is a big game for the Phoenix Suns tonight, right? They're playing for the right, if you will. And I never thought that we'd be sitting here having this conversation in game 81 of the season, being like, yo, we got to win this game so we lock down at least the seventh seed, right? Like, because you lose this game to the Kings. Not only do the Kings get closer to you in the standings, but you're still at risk of potentially being a play-in team that is on the road for the first game. You win this game, you lock up at least the seventh, and you still have an opportunity to get the sixth seed in the Western Conference based on the Pelicans, right? Now, the Pelicans beat the Warriors tonight. The Pelicans play the Lakers on Sunday in their last game, and the Lakers are a team that they're going to be playing with some give-a-shit, right? They want to host a play-in game, albeit the ninth seeded play-in game. So they're going to have some give a shit. If the Suns can win on Sunday and the Pelicans lose, we get the sixth seed. So that's what's at stake when you're playing this game. And then, Matthew, you see them come out in the first quarter, and the Suns are outscored 27-21. But the most frustrating thing, again, is the fact that they have six turnovers right off the bat. So going into this game, knowing that this is a very important game, it brings me my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
Love that it's Boyd's voice and Boyd's on the pod.
It's creepy as hell.
You've got the live version here. You should have just got him to roll it straight out.
I totally should. But then you're in the background like, you know, but
we could have aligned that.
I got to ask, as you prepare for this game, you know everything that's at stake. What kind of wine did you go with tonight?
Well, I went over to Trader Joe's right before the pod. Yeah, or right before the game, and I looked at the rack.
Nice rack.
Hold on. So I think I drank a little too much. All right, so I went to Trader Joe's, and they had – I don't know how to pick out wine. So what was your question, John?
What kind of wine is it? That's all I'm asking. It was an easy – I set you up for an easy one. So I'll answer for Matthew. It's a Zinfandel. So he went with a Zinfandel. Again, I went with a Malbec. But coming into this game, Gavin, I will ask you down here, what are your thoughts about the simple fact that we are trying as a team to lock up the seventh seed?
At this stage, with everything that's gone on, it's pretty much all we can do. Win the games that we can win, and now I'm covered up by the Sacramento Kings score, which was wrong.
Matthew, by the way, do you have the ability to redo the graphic and just like put it in the middle?
Incorrect. It's also the score's also wrong.
It's also wrong. It has us losing. Matthew's had too much to drink. Okay, so this is awesome.
It's pretty much all we can do now. Win today. Win our last game. Hope that the Lakers somehow beat the Pelicans. But in saying that, I've got the feeling that the Lakers might rest LeBron and AD. I mean, let's be honest. The Lakers barely got over a Grizzlies team today that had 13 players on their injured list. And their starting five included Jordan Goodwin and Scottie Pippen Jr. So, seventh, at least we get to play Sacramento at home in the play-in, right?
Potentially, yeah. So, Boyd, what are your thoughts? Like, you know, it's game 81, and we're fighting for the seventh seed. Be honest.
These last couple of games for mine, I don't care. I don't care because the way that we've played over the whole season, I feel like we have to have something else in the bag. We have to have a couple of gears to step up in whatever playoff iteration that we're playing in. So whether it's in a play-in game or it's in a playoff game, if they haven't got a fucking, if they're not able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and give us some give a fuck and give us some fucking hustle on both ends of the court, if they haven't got it in them to step it up, it doesn't matter if we lose in a playoff series or a fucking play-in, if you ask me. So look, there's two games left. We can't fall out of the play-in. So at the moment, all I want to see is some consistency. I don't want to see us losing for fucking three quarters and then come back at the end of the fourth.
But that's what's happened the past two games, right? In our last game against the Clippers, it's like, dude, are we going to pull this out? And I think that it's appropriate, given it's game 81, to make this thing just a full-blown megapod. Let's welcome in Justin from Fanning the Flames.
Yo, what's up, boys?
It's a full-on megapod Boyda, now.
Lissy, long time no see, gentlemen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's been 24 like hours.
Boyd, my favorite Aussie, Gavin.
Hey, mate.
Getting closing that gap second right there. Remember.
I think it's safe to say
they're in a race.
I think it's safe to say that Nate is definitely the third favorite Aussie.
Well, he lives like in Singapore or whatever now, right? So he's my favorite Singaporean Aussie.
Pornian.
Hey, Singaporean. Hold on really quickly. I have to say this. I'm going to whisper. If I whisper it, maybe she won't hear. Hey, I walked out of the other room. This was actually on in the TV. So one of our significant others might, for the first time ever, actually be watching this. So
that's fantastic.
Aussies, no C words, okay?
And let's just talk about how amazing Justin is, not only as a Suns analyst, but just as an overall friend and good person. And he's always in bright spirits, no matter how much sleep he's had or had not had. He's always willing to give back to the Suns community and treat everybody with respect, dignity that they deserve. Amazing human being. Yep.
Can I just say, you're looking radiant at the moment, Justin.
Thank you.
You look a lot better tonight, for sure.
That's because you know what, boys. I got 4.5 hours of sleep last night, so I'm like recharged.
Hold on, a lot better.
I have jaundice. Yeah, I look like I have jaundice. So.
Yeah, Matthew's got scurvy. He's been on a ship for a long time and hasn't had a lemon or a lime.
Oh, dude, it's like the Incredible Hulk, but he just got stuck at like the part.
You're gonna stuck green part to where I can still hate my life.
Let's stop right there.
I still have to work.
He's just irritated Hulk.
I'm just taking over. Can I tell you guys a quick story too about the end of this game? Have you already covered that? So can I talk about it? I don't want to.
No, we're not going to talk about it.
We're
not going to talk about it.
He sounds sad with one. He's like,
we'll do this.
So we have to, I have to go to Prescott tomorrow. Whoa. Don't do this. This is too big. This is way too big.
I remember
you're telling a story.
Nobody. That's what she said. Nobody. Okay. So, dude,
she never said that to me.
Okay. So, we're going to Prescott tomorrow for, you know, sports like always.
Fun.
So, I'm cleaning my car out. I'm like, I got to get up early. So, I'm going to go clean my car out. And I'm doing it towards the end of the game. So, I'm listening, though, of course. So, I'm listening to Bloom. Clean the car out, you know, kind of having little like panic attacks. Go inside and I come out and I get kind of into the zone of cleaning and I don't realize that the audio had turned off, right? So all of a sudden I get a ding on my watch. And are you yawning because of this? I'm sorry. All of a sudden I get a ding on my watch and I look and it's an update on the game. And I'm like, oh shit, we're up one with 1.1 seconds left or whatever. 8.61 seconds left. So I turn it back on and I keep cleaning. And then I think to myself, what the fuck am I doing? I wasn't listening. We took the lead, so I have to not listen. So I didn't. And that's the end.
So that's why.
Sorry, we won. That was way too much.
That's the story.
So that's why we won.
I'm going to go now.
It was worth a zoom in.
It was, yeah, it was definitely expansion. Worth, you know, for those of you who are listening, we zoomed in on Justin to give him the spotlight to tell that, like, just life-altering story. Because I got for those of you who want to know how we experienced the game, we were on playback.tv, and we essentially what I did is there was a big play right before that led to that lead for the Suns to go up 108-107. And I was trying to talk about it because you can clip playback. And I'm like, dude, I can clip this perfectly. We can put this out on our socials. It's a great opportunity to promote the fact that we just started doing this playback thing. And it's really, really fun. And it's fun to hang out with us. And the whole time, both Boyd and fucking Gavin, like, shut up. They're like, interrupting me. Like, so during the next time out, I'm like, guys, shut the fuck up. Let me promo this shit correctly. And then that great play that happened at the very end of the game where Devin Booker got the steal on De'Aaron Fox led to the victory. But leading up to that, it was a stressful, frustrating game. Was it not, Matthew?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it perfect. Actually was
Gavin.
It wasn't stressful at all. No, you know, can we get more people in here so I do not have to talk?
So why was it stressful, Matt?
I can't explain that story about me going to Trader Joe's.
I just wanted to roll off the back of Justin and say, well, while he didn't listen to the end of the game, my feet got cold. So I went in and put on my Book Ones, which have been successful so far in the games I've listened to. We were 7 down when I went and put them on.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
And then all of a sudden we went, yeah, that's what I was doing.
I thought you were
and then
gardening.
We went one up. I was thinking about gardening, but no, the
first.
Yeah, the Book Ones went on. And the Suns went
literal
boom and got the victory. By the way, how good is Bradley Beal? And how much love he has.
That is where I want to start.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
Bradley Beal tonight, 9 of 13 from the field, ended with a total of 20 points, but he also had 9 rebounds, two of the offensive kind. They were very offensive. 4 assists, had a couple steals, and he was the heart and soul of this team. And we were talking about it during the game about how the Suns, for some reason, were just settling for jumpers and three-pointers primarily. They needed to attack the interior, especially knowing that Sabonis had been in some foul trouble early, and the fact that this is the fucking Sacramento Kings. This is one of the worst defenses in the league. The fact that we were taking as many threes as we were, combined with the sheer fact that we were turning the ball over at the rate in which we were doing so, we were playing into their hands. We were allowing them to get comfortable in their offense and defense, and it was Bradley Beal who kind of changed the tide of this game, who provided the physicality and actually made a couple layups, because that's always the challenge with Bradley Beal, isn't it, Matthew, making those layups?
Yeah, I think he has too many muscles, and it's a little bit too hard with his release. He doesn't have the touch around the rim, and I think that has a big factor into his lay-ins. So you don't really trust it, but the more and more he goes to the rim, the more and more that he's getting used to it. I don't know. Who's next?
It's nice after 11 years that he's getting used to going to the rim. What did everybody else see from Bradley? I mean, Gavin, you're the one who started talking about him. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I'm sticking to the I will no longer hear any slander about Bradley Beal. This guy, especially over the last couple of weeks, he started to ramp it up. And I think we pointed it out on the live stream. It was so good to see somebody out there with a bit of emotion and a bit of passion about the game. And we saw that after one of the plays there in that last minute and a half or so where He was just so pumped leading into the timeout and all the way through. And I've just been checking out Twitter and Bill's talking about outside after this, let's go and get that ring. Like he's the leadership that he showed. He's the man that's standing up and taking that leadership role now. He's fast becoming one of my favorite Phoenix Suns players just because the dude loves to play the game. And I enjoy anyone who gets out there and just shows that they love to play the game of basketball. And Bradley Beal showing that over the last couple of weeks. And I'm pumped about it. It's great. I'm not going to let go of the optimism. I'm going to live the optimism through Bradley Beal.
And you know what happens if you let go of it, give up on the optimism?
Yeah, Justin Banju. Yeah. I blocked you on Twitter.
No, I don't know. Never.
So, Boyd, is it a prerequisite of being number three on the Phoenix Suns that you automatically are going to have to be the leader of this team because number one and number 35 just don't want to?
Yeah, look, it really seems that way. And it's sad. It's sad right now, I suppose, that it's got to come from our third fiddle in our big three. There's a calming aspect that comes out when Bradley Beal takes control. I feel like if it's a Devin Booker or a KD led possession, I feel like it's going to result in a really fucking hard, tough midi, possibly a make. But Bradley Beal, I have a feeling that there's going to be some sort of second play, and that's another thing that we talked about. Where's the second action and all that sort of stuff? But I'm more confident when Bradley Beal is involved in plays more, and I just feel like that the offense is just running much better. And look, exactly what you said as well, Gav. Like when we saw him make that bucket and then fucking start throwing his fists in the air, walking off and just psyching up, I there was some hope instilled in me. It's fucking awesome. But yeah, leadership from the third fiddle. Yes, thank you, Bradley.
It's interesting to know that you actually call it a fiddle down there because you call butts bottoms and whatnot.
But
instead of saying butt, he's like, we'd love a bottom talk tonight. But we talk about positive vibes only. So, Justin, I feel like you were getting ready to make a point in a response to Gavin's observation there.
Yeah, and I got it. Why is it sad, though? I mean, you reference, I believe you did, or avoided it, three, right? Chris Paul, was mm-hmm. he not the third fiddle?
But Chris Paul's renowned for that. But that is Chris Paul, in his very essence. Bradley Beal's come from being a score first, just a, you might say, a looter and a riot. From bad Washington teams where he's just had everything just put in front of him. And he's come here and he's done something that I didn't think that he would have to do and could do, to be honest.
But why is that sad?
It's sad because it should be coming from fucking Booker.
Why should it be? Why does it matter?
Because Booker needs it. If Chris Paul was in the same, tier as a Bradley Beal on the team, why? And that same leadership came from him. Why is it better from Chris Paul than it is from Bradley Beal?
It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. Making a valid point. It's a good point. I think we wanted to see it from Booker this year. That's why it's kind of disappointing on my end. But I love that Bradley Beal stepped up because you saw even Booker and JJ Redick's podcast. Like, there's no charisma. There's nothing really there to really lead. Like, I feel like he has like this big dick and can sit back and just be him. He doesn't need to do anything else.
The same, right?
He's good.
He's
the backup. Same.
He's going to respond on Twitter and he's going to do what he does. But
yeah,
why is it bad? Yeah, why is it bad that a dude who is a natural leader takes a leadership mantle?
So let me, so badly. Let me pop in here because I want to
be quiet. Sun's jam. Let's go.
Yes. Well, but here's what I want to say. It's not bad. Okay. So maybe bad is the wrong word, but it's unexpected. I think sad. That as such, sad or bad, whatever, if it's a Michael Jackson album
mad.
Or not, or mad or mad. Glad, or why don't they play more fad? I don't know. Let me ask my
I'll
dad.
Go eat some hay. Or eat fish down by the bay. I just may.
I'm just looking for the rest of this bottle. Here's some, and there's some over there.
Dude, we're feels like, a, feels like a Happy Gilmore movie.
I literally watched that movie like last week. It was fantastic. That movie's still so good. And they're making a second one. Makes me even more excited. But it's not necessarily that they're sad or it's real? Bad. Yeah, it's real. It's sad or bad. But it's unexpected because as Suns fans who have consumed this franchise for the longest time and Devin Booker being in our lives now for 9 years, the expectation is that he would become kind of the quote-unquote natural leader. Now, it's nice that Bradley Beal is the one who's kind of grabbing the reins and saying, you know what, I'm going to be the one who's going to be the vocal one. These guys clearly, it's just not who they are. It's not in their DNA. It's not in the way that they want to execute time in and time out and vocalize their frustrations. Again, not being in their DNA. It's like 1994 and OJ. It's like DNA is just not developed enough yet to convict. So you have Bradley Beal who's going to go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to lead with my words. And again, I'm going to go back and remember, take a look at that final score that's very small and located between both Justin and Boyd right now.
I lost it. Yeah.
We won by one fucking point tonight against the Kings, a Kings team that was without Kevin Huerter, without Malik Monk, right? So there's still a lot of issues with this team. It was hate watching tonight. On playback.tv, it was hate watching tonight. Seeing this team, they turned it over 19 times in this game. The Kings turned it over 7 times. Like, we are a sloppy, shitty team in that capacity. We have been all year when the – and so we talk about leadership or being excited that Beal is or disappointed that it's not Booker or Kevin Durant. It doesn't matter. You know, again, I go back to the silly rock drop that we do right there, you know?
It's like, it doesn't matter!
We can't hold the fucking ball. What is wrong with this team? I don't – and we've had this conversation so many times. Matthew and I do a podcast after every single game. And I think one of the things, like, him and I will talk about a little bit, it's like, dude, I'm kind of looking forward to the season being over because I'm tired of having this exact conversation.
Why I've never
can we hold
that.
The fucking ball? I know, I'm speaking for you.
My thing off the back of that, before you go, Justin. Sorry, apologies.
Quick question.
What matters most in the playoffs?
Holding on to the fucking ball.
Winning basketball games.
Yeah, and a way to do that is by holding on to the ball.
But hold on. But you point out that we were plus 12 turnover-wise tonight against them.
Yes,
and we won the game. And I get blah, blah, blah. People
and
are
that's
out.
Scary.
But you can break down every little fucking piece of every single game. But at the end of the day, what matters is the win, right?
Correct.
So but if this team of a Jekyll and Hyde team puts together the right side 4 out of 7 games in a playoff series, they're going to win, right? It's simple.
Correct. But at the same time, it's not necessarily breaking down every single thing. We're talking about very vast generalizations of basic basketball that this team is fundamentally hurt. And it's fundamentally wrong with them. And that's the challenge with this team. That's why a team is going to hit their under of 51.5. That's why this team is fighting simply to be relevant and be in the seventh seed. There's issues with this team. And it comes down to something. It's not like deep-seated, like, I don't know if the rotations are right. They can't hold on to the fucking ball. We saw it reared its ugly head again tonight. It reared its head against the Clippers. Both wins. Okay, so we are in a good place because of wins. But again, in this capacity, in these conversations, it is
you'd rather
analyzing
be pretty wins. They'd rather you rather
no. I'd rather be a win where I feel like this team is stepping forward, not constantly doing 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And that's what this team does: is they'll win 3 games and then they'll turn the ball over 19 times, allow 22 points off turnovers, and you're sitting there and being like, why can't this team do something as simple? Like, this is a shit team that we're playing in the Kings. They turn the ball over 7 times. But they're shitty.
What I hear is frustration with inconsistency. That's
100%. And that's the definition of the Phoenix Suns.
But at the end of the day, consistent or inconsistent, would you rather have less turnovers or a win?
But you can't. That's too.
But that's what it boils down to, man.
Not necessarily. Not because there's too many other variables. You're putting in two variables in a infinite amount of variables.
I'm focused on the variable, so I'm comparing the two.
I'm hyper focused on the variable that has defined the inconsistency of this team, and the only thing that has been consistent is the turnovers. The fact that this team is 25th in the league in turnovers. It's not the sign of a great team. And okay, that's the fruit of my frustration.
Let me elaborate.
Boyd is over there grabbing his Baltum and wants to talk so bad. So go
we
for it.
Let me elaborate on the sad otherwise nobody bad. Else. This is going to keep
this
going.
This will be a Voida and Justin conversation for 2 hours.
This is why we do
hours.
This only on Twitter because correct. It's like we eventually just get tired of typing. Yes. Here we just keep talking.
Yes. So Boyd, now I'm not gonna, now I'm hit us with
elaborate
that.
On why
go back to work, dude. Fuck, let's go.
On why it makes me sad and why I think it's bad. And it's there's salt being rubbed into the wound after every game. That's the too cool from school demeanor that the guys are giving off in the press conferences and the post game interviews. And it's that we're fucking chilling. And you know, KD's talking about some shit on Twitter, or oh, you guys are just going to think like. And then and part of the reason why I think Bradley Beal has ingratiated himself with the fan base so much and. I think we'll all agree is that he's more accountable when he's talking to people in the press. He's more accountable and he's more aware of how they're feeling. And he's not telling us what we want to hear, but he's recognizing the issues and you can see him trying to adjust. But the other guys, it's fucking something else completely different. I don't know what it is, but they go out there and they've still got this egotistical sort of aura about him, I guess. So I'm not mad. I'm just sad that it's fucking playing out like that.
I wish you were glad.
I'm glad we won.
I just know you're very
I'm
bad.
Glad we're won. I'm glad we won. Gavin.
Because you know what? Yeah, winning is all that. No, I'm kidding.
So I know this turned into a turnover chat. And look, I agree with points from all of you so far. But for me, what stood out in that last 6 minutes of the last quarter is something that, as Suns fans, we've been crying out for weeks and weeks and maybe even the whole season. We need a leader. Now, it might be Book, it might be KD, it might be anyone else. It could be whatever the case may be. But we had somebody who stood up and took ownership of that leadership role in the last 6 minutes of this game tonight against Sacramento.
Was that?
It was Bradley Beal.
It was it didn't make me
okay
mad or glad. It was Brad.
it made me glad that it was Brad because
what have we stumbled into?
KD and Book are our one and two in this team. We know what they can deliver. But over years and years, neither of those two have really slotted into those roles. For Bradley Beal to come in and do that, I'm good with that. And I'm more than happy for Bradley Beal to play that role and let KD and Book do what they do. If Bradley Beal's going to stand up and be the man, bring it on. If that's what we're going to get in the playoffs, give me more of it.
And that might be the recipe for success, but you still have to give credit where credit's due because Bradley Beal can execute the way that he can because of the assets around him. And Kevin Durant had he was the only guy who played in like the first fucking game.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
It was a great game from Kevin Durant, and I don't want to gloss over that. He was 11 of 20 from the field, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc, which is 42.9%. He had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists in this game. And as I mentioned, in the first half, when the Phoenix Suns scored a mere 45 total points, Kevin Durant had 18 of them. He was the only player who was in double figures. He was the one who consistently was putting the ball in the basket and gave the Suns a fighting chance, knowing that this team went down 16 points in the third quarter because no one was out there helping him. So, Matthew, how much do you love Kevin Durant?
You know what? I want to kind of follow up on the Bradley Beal thing really quick because KD's just KD. I don't give a fuck. I really don't care about talking about KD anymore.
Did you change the scoreboard again?
Yeah, but I did
it.
That.
I
like,
love it.
He hangs out with Paul one night, and this is what happens to him.
He was on the Paul side of the table.
Yeah, he was, dude.
He was. Back to Beal.
So back to Beal really quick. That post game interview, like, I fucking love that. Like, I think Bradley Beal's just like, wait, I played 80 games with these guys. I was injured for most of them, but I've been waiting for Booker or KD to step up in a way to be a leader. And we all know KD can't be that guy. Maybe it's Book. And I just got here to Phoenix. I know Devin Booker, he owns this team, he owns the city, but I just was waiting for it, and it's not going to happen. So he had to step up and do something. That steal he had with 4 points down, where 4 points down, like, no yes. one else can do that shit. That's, I know Booker had the last steal or whatever, but he deflection, but that steal, it's like the game was over. We're down by 4 points. So, like, it's fucking over. But he just took it away from who the fuck it was. Was it Fox or Keegan Murray? Took it away, had the dunk at the end. Like, that was just, I haven't seen that from a Sun in a long time, where a guy can just take over a game like that. We have to have that guy defensively and also on the offensive end take over, get to the rim, draw fouls, finish at the rim, which he finally did tonight. But also, like, there's just a different energy. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Booker and KD are just kind of looking at coach and looking at this team like it's not it. And Beal's just like, what? Like, I fucking want to win this thing. Like, I want to fucking show that I want to win it. Booker played a better second half for sure. Mm-hmm. But what I saw from Beal tonight really gives me like some better vibes heading into the next game. KD tonight, great game, dude. Fucking love KD.
So we've talked a couple times about the Bradley Beal interview. Let's go ahead and run that.
What type of a zone were you in out there?
Playoff zone, man. It's time. It's time. It's time to start playing defense. It's time to execute and take care of the ball, offense. It's time, man. We want to win the ring. It's time. It's time. It's time, Amanda. It's time.
It's time. It's time.
I'm hype. I'm hype as hell. I'm ready to go.
So obviously Bradley Beal in that. We're talking about Kevin Durant. We're back to Bradley Beal, but in that interview, you could see him almost like shouting at his team across the court, like, it's time, let's go, yeah. It's ring time. But we've talked plenty about Bradley Beal. Justin, talk to me about Kevin Durant tonight.
Dude, Kevin Durant, do I need to say more than Lissy said? Kevin nope. Durant, Kevin Durant, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Boyd, what do you think?
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
I just thought that was your accent. You could have totally
I thought that was me for a second. I love you.
Yes. Oh, now KD's very, very KD. But yeah, look, I watched that whole game.
Well, Bradley Beal. This is why Kevin Durant stands who watch this podcast hate us. Because, right, yeah, dude, KD was amazing. But let me tell you about how great Booker was. Bradley Beal had an amazing game in this one. Let's talk about him for a little bit. So I guess we've said all we can about Kevin Durant. Unless, Gavin, you have some, like, life-altering observation to add.
I concur with Matthew Lissy.
Big Dick Booker.
In this game, obviously had the steal. But by the way, can I just say something real quick? This is the most well-produced podcast on the fucking Planet Orange or whatever. I hate even saying Planet Orange.
Who's your producer?
It's me and a bottle
not third party. It doesn't take much, dude.
Hey, you do it, fucker. That was perfect. That was a perfect drop.
Lissy just said that? Damn, bro.
Friends.
What's up?
Kevin Durant.
That much?
Kevin Durant.
We're on Devin Booker now.
I know. Hold on. I know what I'm doing. Kevin Durant was the high scorer for the team tonight, but it was Devin Booker who had the steal that sealed the game. He ended with 21 total points. He had 6 assists, 4 total rebounds, ended 7 of 12 from the field. What you'll notice as we talk about when we talk about all these percentages tonight, it was a good shooting percentage from the Suns tonight. They were 40. That can't be right. 40 of 76. They only shot the ball 76 times. Oh, yeah, but they turned the ball over 19 times. That's why. They only had 76 shots in this game.
Adversity.
52. Yeah, the self-inflicted adversity.
Whatever.
By the
hey, one way or another.
Imagine if this team only turned the ball over 5 times a night. Like, they'd be fucking better than the Boston Celtics. Anywho, who wants to talk about Big Dick Booker and how he locked in the second half? As I mentioned before, Kevin Durant's the only one who really scored in the first half. But Devin Booker had 14 points, 5 of 8 shooting, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc in the second half.
I'll go. Now, one thing I actually I tried to say in the playback was
I'm poor.
Booker, I'm very poor. Got no fucking money. But Booker made it done. Kids. And then I said,
they don't have a bathroom, apparently. He shits in the backyard.
saving on water.
Yeah, they got to save on water. And so if anything comes out their bottom, it happens out back and the outback.
But just don't drink milk.
I've gotten vibes from Book throughout the season where he can have
so
one.
Many questions, brilliant. Though. We're just going to glance over that.
Brilliant.
You weren't in the playback.
Dude, everyone shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry, this fucking guy.
But,
I'm muting everybody.
No, but Book can have like a throughout the season. He's had like magnificent offensive plays, and then you don't see him on the following two defensive possessions. And what I really liked, and I said that in jest throughout the playback today. But what I liked in that entire second half, I felt like he stayed connected on defense, and there weren't them lapses that we've seen throughout the season. And I like what it was. It was timid compared to what Booker usually gives us offensively, but I think that his overall game, especially that second half, was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the change of the tide almost was the fact that Devin Booker, again, when he locks in on defense, especially going against a team that has De'Aaron Fox, it's so vital to the success of the team, and it's almost like the team goes as he goes relative to defense. Now, granted, Bradley Beal was the one who really sparked that in the second half. So let's talk a little bit more about Bradley Beal. So 18 points in the second half. He was fantastic in the second half. Regular size book tonight, right, Matthew?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. You know, for Kevin, I'm just kidding.
No, for book, when we're watching the playback, and I'm just collecting thoughts here, like I'm not really stumbling. I know what to say. It's coming. So book tonight on playback, when we're watching, I feel like I'm on a different planet with this team. Like, I don't feel like this is even real. Like, there was some kind of like interdimensional thing that happened ever since maybe the three-game win streak. It's been a different book, but I keep thinking though that he is more along the lines of just chilling with Kevin Durant and just kind of waiting until the playoffs. And that's just who he is right now. And he did turn it on. He had 37 points last game, which was like not the most book game ever, where I didn't really notice 37. But tonight too, he did come out strong in the second half, which we needed, and Bradley Beal did finish it off. I think maybe we're just kind of looking for something else. I think we're kind of bored with the Kevin Durant Booker shit. And I think with Bradley Beal kind of like coming up and playing like the big, strong, big brother tonight to help defeat these fucking bullies and the Kings. They're not bullies, though. They're like, I don't know. I think they're like...
It's the bonuses, bro.
Yeah, they're not bullies. They're kind of like choir boys or something like that. Or so, I don't even know.
Just a bonus in the choir.
But anyways, I'm just whenever you come back to me, I'll be ready for subreddit whenever you.
All right, perfect. Yeah, that's coming up shortly.
Okay,
I do just want to, you know, the nice thing about the fact that a play-in game is coming is if the Suns make it to the playoffs, obviously we're excited at the Suns Jam Session podcast to be hosting a watch party at most likely at Blue Agave in Scottsdale on Scottsdale Road in Mayo. We did it last year. Gavin, you were actually there for that.
It was amazing. If you are a Jamstar, make sure you get along to it. It was such a cool day.
Yeah, and you know, we got some new stickers just came in the mail, you know, so we'll be handing out some of these Suns license plate stickers if you show up. So make sure you come by and say hi. And again, if you haven't tried out the Autograph app, please do sign up. Just download it, input the code SunsJam, and it'll get you signed up. And it's literally a one-stop shop for all Suns content. It has Suns Twitter, it has Bright Side of the Sun articles from different and podcasts are on there as well. It's actually a really cool app, and the more you're on it, the more you earn tokens, if you will, that will get you free memorabilia. So it's this new partnership that we got going with them, and I think it's something that's really, really cool. One thing I wanted to point out,
from Indiana University, number 23, Gordon.
Eric Gordon is as accurate as a stormtrooper. He's 0-4 from beyond the arc, has 2 points. He plays 17 minutes tonight. Here's what's interesting about tonight, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, okay? Eric Gordon, Royce O'Neal, Drew Eubanks. That's the rotation for the Phoenix Suns right now. An 8-man rotation is what Frank rolled out tonight, right? So he's at that, you know, it's game 81. You're kind of at the point where you're going to go into 8-man/9-man rotations. Because that's what you're going to utilize come postseason. obviously you're going to play all three of those guys, but no Bo Bo, no Josh Okogie, no shit. I don't know. Like, Justin, you got something to say.
I truly don't get that. Like,
I don't either.
I mean, I guess if you're having to, in a game like this, you're having to deal with a Sabonis, maybe Bol Bol's not exactly the best matchup, but who's their, fucking Alex Len is their backup. I mean,
yeah, but okay, Bol Bol's not a five.
Give me Bol Bol against
Alex. He's not a five. He's a four. He's a four.
He's not a five. He's a four.
He's a five, but.
He's not a five.
Play him as a
five. He's terrible as a five. He's so bad.
Like 4 minutes.
I'm okay with Bol Bol not playing. I can't understand why we're not playing.
Are we talking about hot ratings? Oh.
And I am not. I'm not one of these guys generally, but Thad Young, when he comes in, plays with energy. Mm-hmm. He plays. He's strong. He's strong enough in the body. He's experienced. He can add value to the team. I don't understand why this dude isn't out on the floor. That's the one for me that completely and utterly confuses the shit out of me as John's got his pretzels. It confuses the shit out of me that Thad Young is not getting more minutes at the five in front of Eubanks, and particularly in front. Look, I'm okay with Bol Bol sitting at the end of the bench. I still believe that's where he belongs. The other one is if Eric Gordon's going to just, as John said, basically be a stormtrooper when he's out there. We may as well have Josh Okogie out there shooting 0-for-4 but playing defense.
Amen. Amen, though, right?
Well, then we should have Bol Bol out there shooting KD numbers then, right? Well, KD that, was good tonight. Never mind.
No.
Bol Bol can go 11-for-20. Bol Bol, if he had 20 attempts, he'd make 11 of them.
Where the fuck was Isaiah Thomas?
Okay. But legitimately, like, I really like that point that Gavin makes, though. It's like, if you're going to have a guy who's not productive on offense, at least allow him to be productive on defense. And Josh Okogie, yeah, he can't hit a corner three to save his life, but at least he's going to give you effort and some fuck shit up ability on the defensive end. And that's what the Suns need at times. Another thing that everybody needs. So my wife makes homemade pretzels. This is a pepperoni and mozzarella sourdough pretzel made from scratch. Right, oh my
God. Now, boy, that is a pretzel in America.
This is a pretzel. Yeah, I've got marinara sauce.
A whole fucking
dip it in there.
That is a pretzel.
Animal. Put that into a little container and be fucking humane.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Beast.
I'm chubbing up over here a little bit.
That is so good, and with Matthew Chubb.
What are we doing?
It's time for subreddit steak. What's up?
Do you guys know what Gordon's shooting from three on the season?
Tell
38%.
What?
40?
Is it 38 or what?
38. So here's the thing with him. I mean, it's like Grayson. What, he just came off of what, like an 0-for-16 streak, and we don't see that from him. We rarely. That was like the first time this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Eric Gordon, we've seen him go through hot streaks. He's not been shooting well recently, so obviously earlier in the season, shooting better. I mean, shoot or shoot out of that shit, right?
At okay, but point, how many?
You have to kind of, you, but and
how,
where do you
how
cut,
many
where
30
do you
point
court,
games?
Right?
How many 30 point games has Eric Gordon had this year in comparison to Grayson Allen?
Well, I'm not comparing the two of them. I'm just saying Eric Gordon going through a cold streak doesn't mean he's not a productive player.
But what I'm saying is that. Well, my point is that Royce O'Neal's replaced Eric Gordon. He gives the same output.
And my question is, are you okay with over the last 10 games, Eric Gordon shooting 35% from beyond the arc before tonight's performance?
I'm not okay with anything.
Are you okay with it?
I'm okay with no. Is it going to happen? Yeah. Oh. Does it mean he's not productive? No. Do I disagree with Gavin that Royce O'Neal fills the same type of role and could produce better, if not
at both ends.
The same, if not better, more often better. Yes. So there we are.
Subreddit Stakeout. The Suns Jam Session. Subreddit Stakeout. Oh, this is going to be good. We're doing the Valley Girl.
So I'm at the club tonight. Oh, my God.
Is that the lead singer of Motley Crue?
No, these are my fucking Elvis glasses. I should have the sideburns because I'm going through menopause, whatever. I'm still old, but hanging out at the club. Let's see what they're fucking, yeah. Who are we playing tonight? Oh, the Kings? I was in Sacramento, some alley. I don't know, getting fucking
off of J Street.
Yeah, off of J Street. So both teams, I can't even read. I had too much fucking wine. I'm actually out of wine. Both these teams suck.
It was a rough beginning of the game, that's for sure.
Yeah. And Boyd, I know this is up and close, so keep it professional. All right. Keep it professional. Get this little crooked and then wear my Invisalign. All right, so who's that girl C Web was talking to? God damn. Someone replied, Analaja Ranandavi, former GM of Stockton Kings, current daughter of Sacramento Kings owner Vivek Vanashi. Tell C Web and Divock to come out and play. Maybe they can help. Someone replied, that's former assistant GM of Stockton Kings. Then someone replied, that's Vivicic's daughter. And then someone else replied, that's Vivicic's daughter. So that was the end of that. I don't know.
Wow. Wow.
So that was the end of that. I don't know. I know.
In conclusion.
That's a letdown. I know. Where did fucking Gavin go? Jerk off? All right. So, anyways. So, Nurkic tried that dumb, I don't need to contest you shit. May he turn his back. Remember that? Just a bonus and let the fucking three go in. Suns flopping and falling all around every shot. Someone replied, typical Suns game. Then someone else replied, they're like helpless trout on a dock. You know
what?
I don't know.
It makes sense. They're like a fish flopping around, but
yeah,
like,
whatever.
They said trout on a dock. You don't catch trout on a lake or the ocean. They're river fish. There's no dock on a river. That's a dumb comment.
I gave him a thumbs down. Don't worry about it, Daddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyways,
there can't be a dock on a river.
What river have you had a dock to? I was just like, that's a trout river. Trout swimming creeks.
That was a very specific question.
I know. And it's a very well-informed answer by somebody who likes to fish.
Who likes to fish?
I just didn't know.
I know. I'm telling you.
Don't know there was a limitation. Go on, sweetie.
So anyways, like I was saying, always interrupted on this pod. So need my solar eclipse glasses. I'm getting blinded by Katie's bald spot.
Oh,
and someone said, oh, I fucking forgot to finish it too. Hold on, this is the last comment, I guess. Suns seriously fail at everything. And I forgot to get the last comment. I was gonna look for more comments, but that was it. Sorry.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Okay, there you go, Jamsters. Thank you. Look at Boyd's clapping.
Boyd just impregnated the Valley Girl 5 times in that.
Yeah. I had like 6 abortions through that thing. Dude. Oh my God.
It's not legal in there.
Well, it's illegal now. Yeah, I know.
Bullshit. Let's talk Jamstar.
Jamstar of the game.
All right, this is an interesting one because of the ebbs and flows of the game that occurred tonight between the Suns and the Queens. I'll start with Matthew. Matthew, what is going on? Is there like it's a fucking strobe light in your apartment? What's going on?
Oh shit, is it still going on?
Getting arrested.
I know. It looks like there's a blinking light in Matthew's room.
Officer will be done what in like is 3 it? Minutes.
It's just my light. You can do different things like this.
Oh, is that the Suns light behind you?
No, I have like a light. It's like an LED light.
Oh, I thought it was I thought it was like the police light showing up like your Mr. Orange. So Matthew, who's your jam star of the game?
I burnt that laptop. I'm gonna give it to fucking Bill, dude.
Gavin.
The leader of the Suns basketball team, Bradley Beal.
Hell
Let's
yeah,
go Boyd.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Fucking Beal.
Bradley Beal for sure. 100%.
We got three Beals. We're going to Justin.
Oh, yeah!
Beal.
Whoa. I love it, dude.
Four I'm Beals.
Love this.
Four Beals. I'm going KD on this one, so I'm going against the grain, but we boring. Wouldn't have been the situation. No, it's boring. We would not have been in the situation we were without Kevin Durant. I truly believe that. Now, granted, Bradley Beal did go 5 of 6 for 12 points in that fourth quarter, but yeah, it's Bradley Beal. I'm definitely going with Bradley Beal on this one. Totally changed my mind when I saw those fourth quarter statistics. 5 of 6 from the field, 1 of 1 from deep, 2 steals in the fourth. Motherfucker is Bradley fucking Beal. All right, one game left in the Phoenix Suns season. They are playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are seeded currently. There's a three-way tie in first place. Okay, so you have the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Oklahoma City Thunder all tied for first in the Western Conference. Now, due to the fact that they have a better conference record, I think Oklahoma City is currently seeded first. Minnesota is seeded second. Denver is seeded third. So I will go, I will do a roundtable. I know that Matthew's answer is the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Gavin, let me go to you. If no. Oh, Matthew's changed his mind. You said no. If the Suns could play anybody in the first round of the playoffs, getting through the play-in, obviously, or getting to
The Thunder. Yeah.
So Matthew wants the Thunder. So in that scenario, Gavin, I will ask you this question. If you could pick either Denver, Minnesota, or Oklahoma City, who would you prefer the Suns to play and why?
I'm taking the Timberwolves because I think that while they've had a really, really solid season, we showed in that last game exactly how well we match up with the Timberwolves. I'm worried about the OKC matchup a little bit. I'm not overly afraid of Denver either, but I think out of those three teams, Minnesota is probably the best matchup for us.
Okay, let's go, Justin.
Denver, because and I why? Thrive on stress.
What about you, Boyd?
That's a good fucking laugh.
It's Mini. It's Mini for me, but it's probably Denver second. I don't want any piece of Oklahoma. They seem to be on the fucking on the up and up, and they're just there's a certain level of confidence with OKC that is really hard to beat for any team. Minnesota, though, what they've got, they've got Cat coming in, a rusty Cat after an injury. He's going to be like a week and a half. Just coming back, and I think that there could be a little bit of, you know,
playoffs don't start for a week and a half.
Yeah, but you know, but still, there'll still be some rust coming off, I feel. But we've traditionally aimed up well against Minnesota from the games that I've watched anyway, and I just feel like Book gets the better of Cat for the most part, and you've still got a young Anthony Edwards trying to find himself in the playoff scene. I think we've got Mini, so give me Mini. But not a OKC, right at the other end.
I agree with you. I want Minnesota. And for, you know, so we kind of have three different answers here, which is what's kind of fun. You know, Matthew wants the Thunder. There's three of us who want the Wolves. Justin wants Denver. So there's a lot of very interesting scenarios going into the last game of the season, right? So the Suns play the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it's going to be interesting to see how everything kind of shakes out, because the Oklahoma City Thunder, they play Dallas. Right. Dallas has nothing to play for. They're locked into the 5 seed. They're going to play.
Doncic's already out.
Yeah, Doncic's already out for the game. I mean, they're resting. So Oklahoma City has a chance to be the first overall seed, which I'm sure they're going to seize the opportunity to do so. Denver is playing Memphis, right? So if Denver's playing Memphis, a team that is highly decimated, their season's over, and they can win that game, they have an opportunity for the 2 seed. Minnesota plays the Suns. So if the Suns can beat Minnesota, Minnesota potentially, because Minnesota would drop to the 3 seed, and it would come down to the result of the New Orleans Pelicans and the Lakers, who are playing at the same time as the Suns and the Wolves. So if you are somebody who wants the Wolves, for example, you're going to want the Suns to beat Minnesota while the Lakers beat the Pelicans, all occurring at 12:30 Arizona time on Sunday. If you're somebody who wants Denver, okay, you're okay with
as an aside to that, John, too, though, the Lakers can still get eight, right? After we beat Sacramento today.
Let me look at that just real quick.
The Lakers won today.
They're at eight right now.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yes. So the Lakers are going to be playing for the fact to have to play to lose two if they want to stay in. So they are going to have some give a shit to them. Now, if the Suns lose to the Wolves, okay, then you want then we're going to end up in Justin's scenario potentially. We'll be the seventh seed. And if we can survive the play-in and win that first game against the Lakers, a team that we're 3-1 against this season, excuse me, then we will have to play Denver in the second seed. The Oklahoma City thing is kind of the worst-case scenario, in my opinion. And it's also the worst-case scenario for the Suns because as a seventh seed, they'd have to lose game one, win game two to be the eighth seed. And Oklahoma City, if they win, will be the first seed. So a lot of different scenarios upcoming for the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, tune in on Sunday to watch the basketball. And once it's all done, come right back here to the Suns Jam Session podcast. Truly appreciate everybody who's watching or listening at a later time. Thank you for hanging out with us. The best way to support the podcast is simply by showing up. I'm going to go around, Robin, because this is like a super pod with the season ending. Let's start with Fanning the Flames. And Justin, tell us where they can follow you and your podcast and when we will hear your next episode in 2028.
Dude, I'm trying, guys. I promise. But every now and then, somebody, I think it's probably Paul, sends weird tweets out from at Fan the Flames NBA. You can find me on Twitter at So Says Jay. And how much does Tyler Ford hate Devin Booker?
That was horrible.
Appreciate you guys. I know, right? It was. I'm not going to go into it. It speaks for itself.
The question that everybody,
I won't answer you anyway, man.
The question that everybody always has is when they tweet at Fan the Flames NBA. Does NBA stand for nothing but ass?
Obviously.
Okay, that's what I thought. Boyd, I'm going to give you a chance to to plug your podcast.
At Aussie.
So I'm going to let Gavin go ahead and plug the podcast. Sorry, Boyd, I had to do it once. It's like tradition.
Hold on. Really quick. I got to do this. I got to get out because I'm going to say positive vibes only, right? You know who did make the big call at the end, the foul? That got Nurk to the line, Tyler Ford. So kudos. He made up for it. Not really, but like he made the right call.
He's one of the
he's a referee, man.
Come on.
I know. Bro. I always think we talk about their CEOs or something.
Don't be a normal why don't you be a normal person and know all the refs?
I know.
Jeez, man. Come on. It's funny.
real quick, I go and I sit next to Justin for like 5 minutes at the fucking Suns Clippers games, and all we're talking about is the officials and their names, and we're talking about Tony Brothers and how he's got two mustaches for eyebrows. And like, I'm like, what's wrong with us?
David Guthrie's a serial killer.
Yeah, all those conversations. So, Gavin, tell us about the podcast and where our listeners and watchers can follow you.
At Aussie Suns fans, for those of you over there in the US, get rid of the Aussie. No S's. Aussie.
Like Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, like Ozzy Osbourne. At Aussie Suns fans on Twitter/X, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, follow us. We have all that sort of fun.
When's your next show?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow is our next show. Ooh. We will go at about 3 p.m. our time. So, Justin, are you free tomorrow? You want to jump on with us?
God, no,
I know you miss podcasting.
Oh, God, I do. But no, this was plenty for me for like years. I'm good.
Matthew, you want to tell them where they can follow us?
Free tomorrow. I'll tell come you and follow about us. It later.
Matthew?
What happened?
No, totally.
All right. Matthew? So, follow
wait, did you ask me a question?
Yeah, I asked you to tell everyone where they can follow us.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. Oh,
he's like, totally.
Us. Thank you, everybody, for watching today. There's 551 of you watching. So go ahead and subscribe, like, and review
really?
Our podcast. Yeah, and fucking just watch us on YouTube and
subscribe. 550?
Yeah, I don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, it's your total for it's your total for the season.
551 from
we get 15 and we're doing cartwheels.
Yeah, don't worry, it's not as usually.
I'm on two devices,
famous and stuff. It's not a big deal. But yeah, at Suns GM at Matthew Lissy.
And my name is John Voight. You can follow me at Darth Voight. You can read my writing at Bright Side of the Sun. Make sure I've got a great piece breaking down the entire playoff structure and what we're rooting for tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. AZ time. It'll be published. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review. And head to playback.tv and look for the Bright Side of the Sun channel where we do our live streams. And again, the Autograph app. Sign up for it. Use promo code SunsJam. Truly appreciate it. Matthew, tell them where to go.
Go home, love your family.
It's this hard to click like.